You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 12th of January, a jam-packed show. Sherry from inside practice yesterday, and the Hornets preview, and pack, and your pack questions. A loaded, long, probably, Friday edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great. We're still in Charlotte. We wrap up the road trip today. Glad to come with you today. I want to open the show with a thought. And I don't usually do politics. I'm not doing politics today. I will admit it's in reaction to our president, who disgusts me with his treatment of certain people. I'm not going to lie to you about that. And I just want take a moment and be nice. I really feel like it's kind of the essence of particularly living in Utah that people are nice. I think that's during the Olympics what people commented on all the time. It's what I've always felt about our core. Larry H. Miller said, go along the world and do good until there's no more good to be done. The essence of the Larry H. Miller company that I work for is about giving to the community and making the community better. That's what our mission is as an employee of this company. So I ask you to be nice. I think as my wife and I talk about this, as a parent, we don't talk about being nice enough in this society. We talk about grades and athletic performance and things of that sort and working hard and effort. And those are really, really important. But it's more important to be nice. It might be cliche-ish, but go out of your way. Instead of ordering, ask someone how they are. Next time you're in a customer, you're the customers. Ask the person, how are you? What's the best thing? I love to ask people. I'm not good at this. I get going too fast. In fact, yesterday particularly, I was tired and just kind of, and I ordered a coffee at the local shop with Igor, and I stopped. And I said, actually, can we do this again? And I said, hi, how are you? And they said, I'm good. I said, now, may I have a pour over Ethiopian? And they, like, that's a coffee drink, by the way. I wasn't like. And so, I don't know. I don't want to go anymore. Just be nice. Treat people well. Respect people. Respect differences. Smile. See what we can do to make people feel better, not worse. Okay. I'm really pissed. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just so disappointed in the run to the lowest common denominator. All right, let's talk basketball. It's a lot more fun. I didn't say who I am. I'm David Locke. I'm actually just a basketball guy who I guess cares. I'm the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're super. This is Locked On Jazz. We give you a little extra insight, expertise, hopefully, behind the curtains look and geeky numbers. And we will do all of that on today's show. Oh, boy, will we ever. It's a pack Friday. That's our offensive metric. Speaking of, if you like geeky numbers and kind of analytical conversations and deep philosophy about things, that's what I did with Ben Falk of CleaningTheGlass.com on Locked On Jazz. I really, really enjoyed that conversation. So I hope you will. I hope you will grab it. Today's show, I think I lined it up well. We got a bunch of sponsors, so I want to thank them as well. And we'll throw those in there. Murdoch Hyundai today, Slow the Flow, and Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. Thank you all very much. And SeatGeek with the promo code LOCKED. All right. I thought there was just a bunch of little notes in practice yesterday that I wanted to share. And I'm really, we don't share practice stuff very often because I don't want to violate the access I have, but I thought there was just some little tiny things that I've noticed that I feel like are not, that are worth sharing. Royce O'Neal hit a corner three yesterday in practice. They weren't going full scrimmage or anything. Just a little, the first guy to give him five was Alec Burks. The first guy to give him five, great shot. That's the guy who took his minutes the day before, right? We're in Washington. Alec Burks does not play the second half because Royce O'Neal took his minutes. AB's the first one who fives him. AB's a good dude. Donovan. What? I actually got to spend a lot of time with Donovan yesterday. Donovan, always talking in practice. Always passing in practice. Got a little heat early in the year, right, for taking too many shots. In practice, swings the ball, knock it down. Always. Swings the ball, knock it down. Like, he gets it. He really gets it. Always talking. I think this is not, that I think is a consciously being a good teammate. This is learning. Look across the way. Donovan's sitting next to Joe Ingles and talking. He's picking up little pieces of information. He's over to Tabo, talking to Tabo. Like, he's always asking little questions about things, picking up information. He's learning each and every minute. So I think that's been really, really interesting to watch. Tony Bradley is here with the team. He's working hard, practicing really hard. I just give him credit. I just thought, you know, we don't talk about him at all. How detailed are practices? At one point, I never got a chance to talk to Quinn about this. I'll see if I can find the answer for you. He was talking to one of his coaches to work with a player on the angle by which their body should be when they receive an inbound pass as they move the offense up. So when you receive an inbound pass, Quinn wants your body in a certain angle because it gives you better vision to all of the things that are coming that are out there. I thought that was interesting. Jeremy Brunner of our TV crew pointed out to me, so I'm going to give him credit, how great a job Donovan Mitchell did staying in front of John Wall. Maybe the best he'd ever seen. Jeremy's a really bright basketball guy, really bright guy. So I'll steal more of his comments and thoughts. I'm only a collection of the people around me of thoughts of they are. I just steal all of them and share. So those were just some of my practice thoughts yesterday. I thought those were just kind of, I don't know, I was at practice, saw it, thought it was interesting. I spent a bunch of time talking to Donovan. Some of it was on the record. Some of it was to back up just some things I was interested in. I'll play some of it now. I don't have time. Today's show is too full. I'll play some of it next week for you. He just gets it at a really, really, really high level. He's very bright. He was raised fabulously. The most telling thing to me as I talked to, I wanted to kind of get his mindset about, you know, the Jazz beat Cleveland. He beats LeBron in some plays. Post-game interview, first thing he talked about was Tabo. They win the other night. First tweet he sends out is a tweet about Epe. He's doing this enough that it's conscious. So I asked him about it. The first thing he said to me is, they're letting me do what I do. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing if it weren't for them. There are a lot of circumstances where a rookie comes into a team and the team doesn't give him the latitude that this team is giving Donovan. Those weren't exactly Donovan's words, but that was his point. It's really true. So he's like, I got to recognize them when they're doing well. They're allowing me to have success. And really, as he said, it doesn't do me any good to talk about myself. So it's a incredible thought process and gives you such incredible insight of what his mom, Nicole, did raising this kid and the environment she put him in. The other interesting comment Donovan made So Donovan went to a private school for a good deal of his upbringing with kids whose parents are near the top and many of them on the Forbes 500 list. So Donovan knows what the Forbes 500 list would probably be the first thing that makes him different. He actually made a comment that in some ways that's been interesting to him because those, a lot of those guys don't need anything, right? So he's surrounded by a bunch of kids who actually, you know, what Donovan's going to make, as enormous as that is in his career, is not a huge, you know, money number to them. And that's created some interesting ability to have some friendships without wondering what someone might want. Really thoughtful guy. Had a wonderful time with him. I try to get enough access to him and our players so that I can share with you without bugging them. And I got a lot of time yesterday on him. All right, I want to talk about Epe Udo and the Hornets coming up. I do want to tell you that there's exciting things going on at Murdoch Hyundai right now. They have partnered with Golden West Credit Union for a 1.99% financing on all vehicles. So you get the Murdoch No Regrets, which is the 5-day price guarantee, the price guarantee, the 5-day return, the oil changes and car washes for life that you get by being a part of the Murdochs, the extended hours, the servicemen, they're going to treat you well. You got the Hyundai brand with 100,000-mile Hyundai assurance. And then I have driven the Santa Fe, the Tucson, and the Ioniq. My hybrid is, I love the hybrid. If you're in the market for a hybrid, make sure you look at that. I'm trying to sell all the Ioniqs so I can actually see them on the road. So make sure you go grab that. The Santa Fe is all its safety features is just a fabulous SUV. If you're in the market for an SUV, make sure you check out the Santa Fe. I would just tell you, put Hyundai on your list if you're looking for a new car. It might not be a brand you'd regularly consider. When you see what you get for the dollar value when you drive the car, I think you'll find out you're very impressed. It's 4646 South State Street. It's Murdoch Hyundai. All right, Epe Udo had an incredible game the other day. Jeremy Brunner, again, he's like the star of the show today. Jeremy did a really, really good research and found out that like there's only four or five guys who have done what Epe did last night. DeMarcus Cousins done it twice. Karl Anthony Towns, Draymond Green, and Victor Oladipo had 16 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. I mean, he's really good. He really plays with kind of a zest and an energy to what he's doing. And he's one of the best defensive players around and is very good at it and gives us a defensive presence that has been better. In fact, he and Rudy, I believe, are our two best defensive matchups. When Udo has been the center with Favors or Gobert off the floor. Remember early in the year, he played with some with Derek. So those the defense has been pretty darn good. In fact, has been impressive. When you start to dig into a little bit, it's a 105.6. So that's a little better than league average when he's on the floor. We've been even when he's on the floor. So if you have suddenly Rudy as your primary center, and our defensive numbers with Rudy on the floor are very, very good, right? And you have, and then Udo is the backup for those other minutes, we could get back to being a really, really good defensive team. Rudy went through portions of practice yesterday. I believe it was all non-contact, but I would say he's out for tonight is the latest report. But he's getting close. So if you suddenly are able to go with Rudy, Rudy's defensive rating when Udo and Favors are off the floor this year is 100.3. The offense has been bad. And then you have Udo on the floor at 105. We're back to being an elite defensive team. That's pretty appealing. That can get us back to being an elite defensive team. The other thing on Udo that is really underrated is you think of him as a non-offensive player. He is a terrific pick setter. In fact, if you dig into some second spectrum numbers, which is some neat kind of advanced metrics, Ricky Rubio pick and roll is best with Epe Udoh. Donovan Mitchell pick and roll is best with Epe Udoh. Joe Ingles pick and roll is best with Derek Favors, next with Epe Udoh, about the same. Rodney Hood's pick and roll is best with Favors, next with Udoh. Alec Burks' pick and roll is not good with Udoh. It's actually not very good. He has those two have not connected. That would be the one where they've not connected. So here you have Udoh does a really, really good job as the pick setter, despite the fact that he's not a role, like he's not a real threat, right? So it's an interesting thing. In fact, so he is, of all the pick setters the Jazz have, he's a little bit better than Favors. Not a lot, but a little bit. And I think that's largely because of the fact that he just actually sets a really solid pick. And he's good with Rubio, which is interesting. He's good with Donovan, too. He's, in fact, our best combination, just if you're interested, Joe Ingles and Derek Favors is our best combination, and that's where Joe's so good at getting to Derek. And then our equally as good a combination is Udoh with Mitchell, because Mitchell goes and scores it off an Udoh pick. Those are the two best combinations the Jazz have. Rudy obviously did not, he connects well with Joe. You know, it's interesting on Rudy. Rudy's two best pick and roll partners are Rodney Hood and Joe Ingles, who've played with him before. Donovan and Rubio haven't quite got it figured out yet. Donovan's gotten better with him before the injury. They also have played 5 games the last 27 with Gobert. I mean, he's been out a long time. That probably cannot be underestimated on what that is. What else I had that? I want to talk about Donovan practice. Oh, let's look at the Hornets. I actually take notes. Hornets, speaking of pick and roll, Kemba Walker is bona fide in the pick and roll. Not a surprise. He has run about as many pick and rolls as anybody has in the league. And he and Dwight Howard are a nasty combination. In fact, the Hornets are, while the Hornets may be 30th in the league in shooting, if you dig into who they are a little bit, when they have a lineup of Dwight Howard, Marvin Williams, Jeremy Lamb, and Kemba Walker on the floor, you know what? They're pretty good. In fact, they're coming at you a little bit. And they're a 115-116 defensive team. Kemba Walker and Dwight Howard have set the most picks of any two-man combination in the league. How's that for a geeky number? Now, of the top, this gets interesting. Let's take the top 100 combinations. Okay? So what's that? It should be the top 3 or so of each team, maybe a little more. Take the top 300 combinations. They're pretty good. They rank 9th best of any combinations in the league. Chris Middleton and John Henson are actually the best. J.J. Barea and Dirk Nowitzki all their years is the second best. Jameer Nelson, Anthony Davis, DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Kyle Lowry, Jonas Valanciunas, Marcus Smart, Al Horford. Boy, Al Horford's valuable. Lou Williams, Blake Griffin, and then Kemba Walker, Dwight Howard. J.J. Barea is up there with Dwight Powell, too. He is a great pick-and-roll player. What do the Hornets do? We don't know the Hornets well, so what do the Hornets do? The Hornets are a off-ball screen team, a pick team, and they actually post up a lot despite the fact they're the worst post-up team in the league. But their offense is predicated largely on that pick-and-roll game. They don't run a lot of ISOs. They don't run a lot of handoffs. They're not a high-pass team. They are a drive team. Or then they're not a big drive. They're a pick team. It gets interesting is passes to the shooter. You think Kemba would be near the top of that. Russell Westbrook is throwing more passes to shooters. LeBron, or actually, no, that's to specific shooters. I was Westbrook's thrown more passes to Carmelo Anthony than for a shot than any player in the NBA this year. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? In other words, Carmelo shoots every time he gets it. So with that said, you would think that Kemba would be near the top. He's not. He's 19th in the league in passes to a shooter, which is a little surprising to me. That's where Donovan's really getting very, very good, by the way. Looking at the top 100 passes to a shooter, and Donovan gets near the top of efficiency there. It's slipping a little bit because guys aren't making shots for him, so he's ninth best in the league. The other way you can look at it, which is an interesting number, is what the expected effective field goal percentage is if average shooters took it, and Donovan would be sixth best. It's an interesting way to look at it, isn't it? All right, we'll get to Pack here in just 1 second. Today's show brought to you by my friends at Slow the Flow. I love Slow the Flow. They've been so good and fun to be with. The idea, guys, is just taking care of Utah, right? Like, we love Utah. Take care of Utah. SlowTheFlow.org. We talk about being a WER All-Star, the Water Efficiency All-Star. It's easy. Low-flow toilet, you'll save 0.3 gallons per flush, which doesn't sound like a lot. 12, but it is, because you know why? Flushes add up. 5-minute shower, you use 12 to 25 gallons of water. A full tub uses 70 gallons of water. You could probably do the math on this. If a 5-minute shower uses 25 gallons of water, and you take a 4-minute shower, you just save 5 gallons of water, right? You just save 20% of your shower. That's how you become a WER All-Star. Head to slowtheflow.org. Slow the flow. Save H2O and love our great state of Utah. Okay, so it's Pack Friday time. Love Pack Friday. And it's the halfway mark of the NBA season, so we actually really can do something with Pack Friday. We'll look at the top 10 offensive players, the bottom 10 offensive players, and the top last 10 games, top, bottom offensive players in Utah in this segment. And then we will look coming up at how we look at your questions. All right, Pack is points above average created. The idea is if a player uses 15 scoring opportunities in a night, free throw attempts or shot attempts, that what the average player would do with that. So, for example, DeAndre Jordan, who you don't think of as a very good offensive player, uses 9 scoring opportunities a night because he shoots 67% on those, and he's actually up to 60% at the free throw line. He scores 2 points more than if an average player in the NBA were to use those 9 scoring opportunities. 2.0 is very good. Generally, we have about 3 guys over 3, 1 guy over 4 is the best in the league, and about 10 guys over 2, and that's exactly where we are right now in the league. We're right at that same note. So the top offensive player in the NBA this year is Steph Curry. And he has not played a lot. He sprained his ankle again the other day and everything, but he's only played 28 of the 41 games. We probably should be including Steph Curry back into the MVP conversation. He is having a dominant offensive season that is getting close to as dominant as his 15-16 season. Not quite. 15-16, where he had one of the great seasons of all time, his Pack was 5.8. The next closest was Durant at 4.1. 1.7 points more than anyone else in the league. He is at 4.8 this year, so he's not quite there. But he is 1.1 points more than anyone else in the league. It is a dramatic number. The number 2 offense player in the league is James Harden. Number 3 most positively impactful player is LeBron James. Number 4 is Anthony Davis, which is a little bit of a step up for AD. Anthony Davis is having a really terrific year. Anthony Davis last year was not a top 10 Pack player. So I often talk, and I do in the Ben Falk interview on Locked On NBA, about the lack of standard deviation of Anthony Davis. That may be changing. Anthony Davis last year was a 1.3 Pack player, and this year is a 3.4 Pack player. So he is a considerably better player this year than he has been. Gerald Green's been brilliant in his little time. Giannis Antetokounmpo is 5th at 3.0. Durant is 3.0 at 6. Carl Anthony Towns, 7. Clint Capella, 8. DeAndre Jordan, 9. And Lou Williams, 10. And Nikola Mirotic, in just 17 games, is also 1.9. Keeping going, Steven Adams, Victor Oladipo, Kevin Love, DeMarcus Cousins. How New Orleans is losing games in their 500 with those two guys beyond me. Enes Kanter, incredible value, 1.7. Dwayne Dedmon, Etwan Moore, New Orleans. Kyle Korver, Rudy Gobert, who we're missing. Jason Tatum is the lead rookie. And Michael Scott, a surprise for Washington, and Klay Thompson. So those are the top offensive players. Trey Lyles was next. I didn't leave him out. I just happened to stop there. Let's go to the most negative offensive players in the NBA so far. He has only played 4 games, but it's worth pointing out Isaiah Thomas is a negative 3.3. This is now the run of rookies. Lonzo Ball is minus 2.7. Dennis Smith is minus 2.5. Danilo Gallinari has played sparingly only 11 games. So he sneaks in here, but then the next one is Josh Jackson minus 2.2. Marcus Smart minus 2.1. Chris Dunn is still a minus 2.0. De'Aaron Fox minus 2.0. Jawan Evans minus 2.0. Russell Westbrook minus 2.0. Yusuf Nurkic 1.9. Kay Felder, and then Andrew Wiggins 1.8. Always Andrew Wiggins sitting in there as the non-efficient player, just surprising. And another player I talk a lot about with Ben Falk. For your Jazz on the season, Naz Mitra-Long is number 1 in his one shot. Rudy Gobert 1.5, Derek Favors 0.7, Joe Ingles 0.6, Jonas Derebko 0.5, Thabo 0.5. This is important. Epe is positive. So all these guys are positive. That's really good. That's what, for a Jazz team, without a dominant offense player, what you're trying to do is find a bunch of players that are positive. Royce O'Neal's a negative 0.2, call it even. Alec Burks is much better this year, a minus 0.4. Despite Alec's struggles recently, which are considerable, 30% and 20% over his last 10, and just kind of out of his bearings, Alec a year ago was a minus 0.7 pack player. And a year before that, which is the Paul Pierce year, if I remember correctly. AB was a minus 0.5 pack player. So this is so far been his best year. Donovan's minus 0.5. Rodney's a minus 0.8. I'll give you a juxtaposition of who that is in a second. Joe Johnson's minus 1, and so is Ricky Rubio. For the Jazz. Let me clear the data. Minus 0.8 for Rodney Hood. Other similar offensive players. Austin Rivers, Jordan Clarkson, Marcus Morris, Terrence Ross. Paul Millsap was not having a good year. I'm looking for guards. Terry Rozier, Jody Meeks, who's struggling. J.R. Smith, minus 0.7s. More minus 0.8s, Raymond Felton, Justin Holiday, Damari Carroll, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, just to put that into perspective. Let's go last 10 games. Steph Curry has only, of those 10 games, Steph has only played 5. He's on another planet. It's a 10.5 pack. Paul George is on fire. Players who've played 10 games, number 1 in the league, Lou Williams, number 2, Giannis, 3, Harden, 4, Durant 5, Austin Rivers has played just 3 games, but in those was very good. Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, both Victor Oladipo, Jimmy Butler. I mean, the cream is rising to the top. J.J. Redick is rolling. Damian Lillard has been out with calf strain, so he's only played 3 games, been good. Emmanuel Mudiay has played 2 games and 4 minutes, and he made his shots. He's always on the bottom. I want to just give him credit. I think he's 4 of 5 shooting. It's not really real. Interesting name of player playing really well is Dwight Powell, shooting 73% his last 10 games. DeAndre Jordan and Gary Harris all fall into that. All right, let's go to the guys that are the coldest in the league. Last time it was Kristaps Porzingis. Now it's Avery Bradley. He's only played 5 games. Kyle Kuzma, for guys who've played 10 games, over the last 10 games is the lowest PAC player in the NBA. Interesting. Kristaps Porzingis, minus 3.5, is the second lowest. Zach Randolph, Norman Powell in Toronto, Juwan Evans, Mo Spates in Orlando, Damari Carroll, Goran Dragic in Miami, Frank Ntilikina in New York, Andrew Harrison in Memphis, Marcus Smart, Tyler Ulis, Yusuf Nurkic again, Dennis Schroeder. Let's look at your Utah Jazz last 10 games on PAC before we go to your questions, which were very good today. And we pull up the Jazz. Last 10 games, your number one PAC player is Donovan Mitchell at 1.2. Very good for a rookie. Derek Favors, 0.8. Udo, 0.1. Then everybody else is negative in the last 10. Jarebko, minus 0.2. Joe, minus 0.3. Royce, minus 0.7. Joe Johnson, minus 0.7. Tabo, minus 1.1. Alec, 1.3. Rodney Hood, minus 1.9. And Ricky Rubio, minus 2.1. It's been a tough stretch. Very tough stretch. Hopefully we're out of it. Kind of feel like that one win might propel us. We'll see if we can get it tonight. All right, we'll do your questions here in a second. I wanted to take a second. Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate, who's been with us from the very beginning, emailed me the other day and said, hey, I think there's some misinformation out there. 83% of first-time home buyers think they need to have a down payment of 10% or higher to buy a home. This was according to Time Magazine. Devin says, we got to let people know with the Geeky Numbers Show that that's not true. The reality is that you have to have between 0 and 3.5% down for a down payment. Devin can explain this process to you. Devin really prides himself on working with first-time homebuyers. That's what Devin enjoys doing probably more than the others. And one of the really cool things is when we have gotten feedback from Locked On Jazz listeners toward about Devin, that's what they've said, is that he has been non-pressure, incredibly nice to them. When I asked him at the very beginning, he says he approaches real estate as the heart of a teacher and he wants his clients to never feel uncomfortable and he loves working with first-time home buyers. And that's exactly whether it was Charity and Ryan or whether it was Zach Campbell who moved back from Hilo, Hawaii that talked to us and sent me, whether it was Kyle Denier who said, you know, Devin Cash was, they were great. So find out what Devin can do for you and let him explain to you what you actually need to be a first-time homebuyer. 801-759, that's 1495. 801-759-1495. Devin always takes a portion of his commission. He used to give you Jazz free season tickets. We're pretty far into the season for that, but he's nice enough to take a portion of his commission to give you Jazz tickets or whatever it might see. Do as Ryan and Natalie Gubler did, Tim and Whitney McKay, numerous other Locked On Jazz listeners, and find out about Devin Cash and Equity Real Estate. 801-759-1495. All right, great questions. Let's get to them. First one, impact of the Dion Waiters injury out for the year on Miami. It's good for Miami. Dion Waiters is a negative PAC player. He's a minus 0.2 PAC player for the season. This is Miami has won five in a row. While he's out, they've won five when Justice Winslow's out. Last year they lost Justice Winslow and they got better. And the same thing is happening with Dion Waiters. And I think what's really interesting about Miami is almost all their players are positive. In fact, of all their rotation players, Justice Winslow's minus 0.9, Dion Waiters is minus 0.2, and Goran Dragic this year is a minus 1. So he's showing some age. If Goran Dragic can get going a little bit, Miami has the makeup of this team that will surprise. Like, how are they the fourth seed in the East? Because every single one of their players is positive. And so they're just a little bit better than you realize. Miami has been built on the model that PAC believes in. PAC believes in that you keep all of your players as above average offensive players, and you'll be stunned at how much better you are than you think you are, than you think. We're close to it. Rubio is probably never going to be a positive PAC player. With some adjustments and things, we could probably get a little bit closer than we think right now. So kind of interesting. What's Quinn's pack? Was a great question. I got no idea, but I love the idea. And I have no idea how you can do that. Jaden wants to know, what's Rubio's pack? We've addressed it. As you said, it's important to have everyone in the positive pack to be competitive. Can Rubio's negative impact, at least I'm anticipating to be negative, be overcome by other positive pack players? You know, I think it is. I unfortunately think that Rubio's what's interesting about Rubio is last year he was almost even pack because he went to the free throw line enough. And so he didn't get that same negative pack. Mitch Null wants to know about Mirotić, Fournier, and Bazemore. I guess he's we talked about Mirotić. So far in the season, he's one of the top 10 pack players in the NBA. It's a little misleading because, well, actually, I don't know if it's misleading. It's just seven. It's a small sample size. It's 17 games. So if you go look at Mirotić a year ago, which might be a fair, he was a negative 0.1 pack player. He was dead even. He shot from three last year, 34%. If you go to 15-16 season for Mirotić, he was a positive 0.5 pack player. He was a 39% three-point shooter. So it's probably time to just, you have to figure out on Mirotić what you think he is as a three-point shooter. That's what you have to decide. Kent Bazemore has a really tough contract, but worth looking up. He is a negative 0.4 pack player. So he's a below-average offensive player. Atlanta gave him a lot of money. Last year in the 16-17 season, when Atlanta played a world of players, Bazemore was a negative 1.1 pack player. So Pack is not a big Kent Bazemore fan. Maybe he does other things, but I think that's hard to overcome. Orlando, Evan Fournier, who I have always kind of liked, is a positive 0.8 pack player this year. I think the league is lukewarm on Fournier, and I think he's better than the league thinks. The year prior, he was a 0.1 pack player. So what's different this year is he's making his shots. He's at 39.6% from three last year. He was at 36% from three. He's taking 31% of his shots from three this year. Last year, he took 31% of his shots from three. So it's simply he's making more of his shots. He's actually going to the line a little bit less this year than he did a year ago, but he's just making those three-point shots. So Fournier, Mirotić, Bazemore, Pack likes Fournier the most of that group. Mitch. Peter Hayward was trying to ask about trading for Jabari, which wasn't really the discussion. I do want to take a look at Jabari for a second. Was the other one I wanted to do before we left today. We had Jabari got. So last year, Jabari played in 51 games before tearing the ACL, was a positive 0.4 pack player, went to the line about 10% of the time, only shot 17% of his shots as threes, but was able to be a positive pack player. That was prior to the second ACL. In the prior year, 76 games, he was a negative pack player, shooting just 3% of his shots from three, scoring 14 points a game. And I think the 14-15 season is the season he misses. I think I would ask the question before the ACL with these numbers, how good an offensive player was Jabari Parker? And then I'd also ask the question of what kind of defensive player was Jabari Parker? In the 14-15 season, in which he played 25 games, he was a negative 0.2 pack player. So there's a nice steady growth there, right? Negative 0.2 to negative 0.2 to positive in the 16-17.4, but not an elite offensive player at all. And not a lot of threes, improving a little bit more. But coming off two ACLs, hard call right there. I'd be scared of that. honestly. I would be a little scared of that. These were great questions. Thank you very much. Super job. And thanks for tuning into the show today. A little longer edition on this Friday. Had extra stuff, had extra sponsors, frankly. Had a lot of information. I'll talk to you Monday. Go listen to Locked On NBA with Ben Falk. I hope you enjoy it. It's Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.